He and I have known each other for a long time. So much of my ministry career was in single adults. Now I do a bunch of other things at First Baptist Conroe. But one of the things that I'm passionate about is helping groups, small groups, and in your case, your Life Bible Study group, continue to reach people and to develop people and to grow them and keeping that front door open to your group. And so we're going to talk about it today. I've got a little handout for you that I'll give you. And so if you'll just going to take one and pass it around, that'd be great. Start with you guys over here. There you go, Mike. We'll start over here, Paul. We'll just kind of feed those back. And we'll... two there. It'll be easier for you. And we have extra. You guys got them already?
Yes.
Is that the same one?
No, different. It's a different one.
Oh, yeah. Is that last hour?
Yeah. And so I think. Yes, that's last hour. Okay. Yeah, so there you go. I should have done three different colors because I'm doing three different seminars. But we had lots of blue paper at my church. So I was using the blue paper. Okay, is everyone, it says at the top, come on in, the door is open. That's the one you should have. If it says I don't know them yet, you can keep it if you'd like. You just won't have the blanks at the end. So let me ask you this question, and you can fill in the blank on your paper, but let's talk about it. What is the front door to Houston's First Baptist? What's the front door?
Physical front door?
Well, some might say 7401 Katy Freeway. They might say that. That's your address, if you didn't know your church's address. They might say, what?
The people inside.
The people inside of the front door. Or they might say the sign that says Recreation Center. Or they might say First Baptist Academy. Or they might say the preschool. Or they might say Metro Bible Study. Or they might say an intramural league. What else might they say?
Life Bible Study.
Life Bible Study, hopefully, is one of their answers. Might be the front door. What other front doors to First Baptist are there?
Choir.
Choir. Concerts. Marriage seminars.
Children's ministry.
Children's ministry.
Podcast,
website.
Our individual homes.
Your house, that's right. So as we think about keeping our open groups open, and our title here, come on in, the front door is open, three marks of an effective LBS, we have to understand what's the front door. What's the front door to my group? How do I keep the door open? Do they even know we have a door? My wife and I are looking at a house. It's a fixer-upper. We went online, looked at it. It has two driveways. That doesn't make any sense, does it? No, a circle drive makes sense. A driveway with a circle drive makes sense, but two driveways doesn't make sense. Because one of the driveways goes to a two-car garage. The other driveway goes to the front door. It's the goofiest thing. That's why they call it a fixer-upper, because it's dumb. It needs fixing. So, do they know you have a front door to your group? And is your door open? Is the door to your group open? I don't mean physically, like if you meet in a room like this and the door, you can't prop it open except for borrowing a stanchion and moving it here. You can't, not that, but do they know it's open? So think about, for your LBS, what's the front door to your LBS? It might be you, could be a member of your group. It could be an athletic event. It could be Metro Bible Study. It could be the website. If you're... y'all list your groups online? Your LB? Okay, yes, yeah. You should. So it could be the website. So what do people see? What's their first impression of your life Bible study class when they when you open the door? I don't want to leave you out, buddy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. what's the front door? So if you want to maintain this flow of guests and an attitude of openness, then I need to know, how do people know we exist? What's their entry points? I tell you all the time at every church I've served at, if you want your life group, life Bible study, Bible fellowship class, Sunday school class, whatever you want to call it, if you want it to grow, one of the best ways you do that is you have people who serve in the greeter ministry. Because truth is, for most of your life Bible study classes, your front door is actually a booth down on the first floor somewhere at the main entrances for most of you. If we're honest. Because the longer we're in church, the more likely it is that the people we know are churched people. And so unless your group is overly evangelistic or relational in the community, the front door to your LBS is actually your greeter stations. And so if I were you, I would be good friends with the greeters. I'd bring them coffee. I'd go serve them. I'd do whatever it takes. Right? Because you want them to bring people to your group. That's one of the doors, front door. So think about those ways as you process, what are our front doors? I need to pay attention to that. Because if we're going to maintain an open group and continue to gather people, that's the first blank, number one. If we're going to continue to gather people, which is our goal, one of the goals of your church is to gather people. That's one of your missions. That's part of your core value system here, is to gather people. And so you've got to know and answer the question, who's in the room? So if I'm going to keep an open front door, then I need to know who already exists in the house. Right? Because most of you in the room, all of you in the room, or let me rephrase it, none of you in the room are going to go after the 75-year-old widow for your LBS. None of you are going to do that in this room. Right? Because how many of you have 75-year-old widows in your room? My guess is none of you. So, if I'm going to maintain a solid open front door, now I need to know who I have, who I've already gathered. Right, who's in my room? Who do I know already? Who we've already received? And then let's go after some more of those people. Whatever life stage, whatever age, whatever status they are, whether that has to do with marriage, whether that has to do with their spiritual development, whether that has to do with interests, whatever it is, I need to know who's in my room so that when we do open the door up and we keep it open, we're going to get some folks first, probably that are in similar life stage. That's an easier transition, right? If you're gathering people who are similar to those in the room. Now, that's not always the case. Some groups are very diverse. They have singles, they've got marrieds, young, old, new believers, mature believers. They're just kind of a melting pot of people. And so that's who you're going to attract, is just a melting pot of people. It's okay. But you got to know who's in your room and be ready to attract either that type of person or someone who's open to diversity. And diversity means a lot of different things in church life. A lot of different things. So the second question that you have to answer as you gather people, as you keep the door open, who are we reaching? So who's in the room and who are we reaching? Think back. If you're the outreach leader of your group or you're the director or maybe you're even the teacher, think back to the guests who visited your class, and I would call them guests, not visitors. I visit the Grand Canyon. I'm a guest in my friend's house. Very different. It's just simple, but it's important. So, who are you reaching? So look back over the last 6 months and think about the guests that you've had. Who are they? What's their story? Do I know their story? Does anyone in our group know their story? What's their life stage? You know, I'm a part of a group, you know, one Sunday every 6 weeks. Now, I'm on the roster, but I'm really there. But we're at an age, my group, where our kids are, you know, all chaotic and going crazy and involved in a thousand things, and our parents are getting older. And so we're trying to balance the grandparent and the kid issue. Sandwich generation, right? And the folks that are a little bit older than me have it even worse because now their kids are in college and their parents are really struggling health-wise. And so, do I know those people? Do I know what they're going through? Have I paid attention to that? Who am I reaching and what are their needs? If they're a 23-year-old single adult, more than likely they just graduated college and moved to Houston because they're working for an oil company or an affiliated business. That's just a big generalization, but that's true. And in 6 months, my world up in Conroe is going to go crazy because all those goofy Exxon people from all the world are going to move up there. And there's going to be a whole other set of issues that we face because, again, you got to think about who's coming and who's going to come, who has been. So, again, who am I reaching? Think about that. Because what may be happening is that your group is kind of one demographic or one stage of life or one interest. But all the new people don't really fit. There's something different. So you got to pay attention to that. You got to know that. And so maybe we need to rethink our direction or our purpose or our makeup and look for that. And then the last question on this as we gather, really kind of the first piece of opening the door is, who have you talked to this week? I don't mean you as a LBS. I mean you, personally. Who have you talked to this week about your LBS? So again, who could you have talked to about your LBS? Who are the possibilities of who you could have talked to about your life Bible study?
Co-workers.
Co-workers? Who else?
Neighbors.
Neighbors? You guys are being real spiritual on me.
The people in your life
Bible study. Hey, there you go. The people in your life Bible study class, right? Hopefully you have a relationship with at least one of them. Right? The people in your group, you've talked to them. Good. Who else?
Friends.
Friends. Right? Some of your friends.
You've talked to them.
Hey. We had this crazy discussion this weekend. Anybody else?
Family.
Family. You're missing a big one. The most important one.
That's a pretty big one.
The church answer. So as my son's life group teacher said, you can pretty much everything Jesus, Paul, and love, that'll be good enough for just about every answer. So strangers, and he uses it on me sometimes. Strangers. Nope. Okay, think about this. Who's your best friend in this church? The greeters.
The greeters.
Because what do greeters do?
They bring guests.
They sell it.
They sell it, and they bring what?
Guests.
Guests. So who should you talk to about your LBS this week?
Guests.
Guests. Guests. When a guest comes to your LBS, you should be talking to them about your LBS. This is number one. 1A. God. Okay. Right? So again, I wasn't trying to be over spiritual. I'm trying to, who are we talking to about our life Bible study? Well, if we're going to keep an open door, we need to be talking, you're right, to the greeters. We need to be talking to the people in the group.
But we need to talk about the guests. Yes, all these people are important, but God has handed you a couple, a friend, a lonely person, a family in crisis, a new person to Houston who hates the traffic. God's handed you that person on a silver platter. Said, here you go. They're all yours. So as you think about it, whatever your role is in your life Bible study class, the people of your group better be talking to the guests about your group. Because that's how the door stays open. That's the way. And so when you're gathering them, then you got to talk to them. And that goes beyond Sunday morning. That's why the question is the word of the way. Who have you talked to this week? Who have you talked to about your life Bible? Yes, we need to talk to people in the community, in our sphere of influence outside of the life of the church, about our group and about Houston's First. But the truth is, I want to be talking to the person that God handed me. That's who I want to talk to. The person God handed me. Walk through the door. Here you go. They're yours. Okay? So again, as we think about that whole idea of gathering, if the door is going to stay open, then the people that walk in, I have to build a relationship. So we gather people. The door's open, we gather them. And then that takes you to your next step of we got to grow them up, right? If the door's open, my purpose is not just to get them in the door, my purpose is to grow them once they get in the door. Again, that's part of your purpose here at Houston's First. And so what are you teaching? Are the things that you're teaching going to resonate with someone who may or may not be connected to church? Sometimes the answer is no. A non-Christian is not going to get this. They're just not going to get it. You know, I think about the passage, you know, unless you eat of my flesh, I don't like that passage. Right? A person who doesn't have any concept of Christ is going to be like, this is a crazy cult. If you just happened to be in the Gospels that day. Right? Or Philippians, you know, the book of joy. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Have you lost your mind, Paul? No. Who wants to die? Nobody. So, but you need to know, what are we teaching? Is there an opportunity for someone who may not resonate with the Scriptures, are they still going to glean something? And at the same time, the person who's been in church their entire life, are they going to come away with a nugget and be encouraged and challenged in their faith? And so, what are you teaching, and then how do you put that into practice? And then who are you adding? You know, part of growth is not just spiritual growth. There's a sense in which we need to add to our number. And so who are you adding? Again, that's why it's important to look back as you think about ministry in the future. You glance back, right? That's we don't focus on the rearview mirror all the time, but we need to. So who has God added to us recently? Who has God given to us in the last 6 months, the last year? Who has He given to us? What have we done to steward those people? So then I look at them, and then how do we take those folks and continue to use them now to add to our number? And we're going to get to kind of what that might mean later on with the three marks/expectations. So who are you adding? Thinking about, okay, let's pay attention to who's joined our group in the last 6 months. Can you name those people? Right, you need to know them. Who have we added? Because I guarantee you, if your groups are like groups at every place I've been, you're going to add some, and there's going to be some that you lose. Just attrition. And so that's why you need to constantly add. That's why the door has to stay open all the time. Any thoughts or comments? I want to pause here before we talk about keeping the door unlocked. Any thoughts or comments on these first two things? The gathering, the grow. Anything you want to say? Question? Okay. You're all scared now because you didn't get the right answer. It's okay. It is 11 o'clock at night, so, you know, come on. We're okay. Yes, sir.
I want to ask about the guests part. So yes. When you say their priority, number one, and you're talking to them, is that more you're asking questions and explaining what your class is about, or, hey, how'd you like the class today? What, elaborate on that.
Right. As you're speaking of these, the key is not you're giving them the rundown of the class. Your key is to build a relationship. Right, that's the purpose of that conversation. As a part of describing your life Bible study class, really, those conversations about getting to know them. So because in the 3 or 7 or 10 minutes you might have either before class, and if you're like every other church in America, everybody's rushing in at the last minute.
Yes.
And you're chit-chatting, and then you're leaving, and if you go to worship next, you're running out. If you have kids to go get, it's a mess, right? So there's not that moment there to build a relationship. So those conversations are relationship-building conversations. And as a part of that, you inform in small ways. So you don't overwhelm them with, like, okay, so here, you know, if you need this help, call this. You know, you don't, it's not a laundry list of here's how you get connected and plugged in, and here's the 25 activities we have, and oh, by the way, I hope you liked it. No, it's, hey, tell me about yourself. What's happening in your life? You know, those kinds of questions. And then, you know, there's a group of us going, boom, you give them one thing. Again, I've shared a number of times. The goal is to get them to the next thing.
Yep.
That next thing might be Sunday morning again, but it might be something else. So again, to help build that relationship, I want to get them from the Sunday morning environment to a conversation with me to then the next relationship building opportunity. So it's always good when you're talking to a guest to have a purpose. What's your purpose for calling them? What's your purpose for emailing them? What's your purpose if you're going to text somebody the first time, which I don't suggest? What's the purpose in that? It's always good to have a purpose in the conversation. And the purpose isn't for me to explain more about our life Bible study. My purpose is to build a relationship with you and inform you about one thing. One thing. What's the one thing I want them to walk away with or to hang up with when we're done? What's that one thing? So that's keeping that relationship going. And then, as they get to the next, you're slowly handing them information along the way. It's difficult to do. Because the easy thing for us is to say everything we know about Houston's First Baptist. And that's the easy thing to do. Because most of you know most of what's happening for your demographic. Well, that's wonderful, but they probably just need a friend or a couple to connect with. That's what they need. So again, it's the relationship side of it that's more important. So you got to prepare yourself to call. You have to prepare yourself for this moment of conversation. You need to be prepared on what am I going to say? What are the questions I'm going to ask? And then if I have to leave a message, what am I going to say on the message? You need to be ready for that. Because if you, hey, this is David, and we met briefly on Sunday, and you know, we're going to have a meeting next week. I hope you can be there. I hope you enjoyed it. Here's my number if you need. Thanks for calling, but you're for sure not getting a call back then. There's a slim chance you'll get a call back if you give them something worthwhile. And so, again, all about the relationship. Beyond the Sunday morning is all about, I want to build a relationship and help them get to the next item. Event, class, whatever. Fill in the blank. Does that help some?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Anybody else? Question? Thought? All right. How do we keep the front door unlocked? First of all, we need to look and pray for people. Look and pray for people. How many worship services are on this campus on a given weekend?
Three.
Three unique services, correct? Yes. And then any Siena or downtown or Cypress people in the room? Okay. No. Okay. Who? Anybody at another campus? Anyone? Everybody's here. Oh, good. Okay.
Everyone else went to bed.
Yes.
They got a drive.
Yes. Yeah. So there you go. Okay. So you have three unique services. So in the worship service you go to, where do you sit? If you're 18 or 88, you sit in the same place or section you've always sat in. Typically.
Yeah.
Typically, right? So here's an experiment for your Life Bible Study class. If all of you kind of sit together in the same area, I would encourage you to announce one Sunday that the following Sunday, you're going to sit on the opposite side of the sanctuary, whatever that means. But you label it and you announce it and you say, that's what we're going to do. Because you'll be amazed at how many people are like you on the other side of the church that you didn't know existed. So we have to, again, train ourselves to look for people that are God's brought to our campus, have made it through the door, thankfully, because they parked in guest parking. Unlike the rest of you, I had to take three buses, right, to get here. And so again, look for people. When you're walking to your class, or if you're dropping your kid off, or kids, you're dropping them off, look around. And again, Houstonsburg is a big place, right? It's a big place. So there's a chance that you're going to introduce yourself to somebody who is more involved than you are. And that's okay. Because you know what it might do to them? It might spur them on to do exactly what you're doing. Trying to reach out, meet people so they will get connected to a Life Bible Study class. So you're providing encouragement and challenge for people that are not even in your group. So look for people that might fit your group. Look for people in the community that might fit your group. Pray that God would send you to people, whether you're on campus or at the grocery store or at work. Pray that God would send people to you and He would send you to those people. Do we pray about this kind of stuff? That God, you'd bring new people to us. Pray about it. Get your class to pray about it. Now, don't stand up on a Sunday where you have seven guests and say, guys, we need to pray for new people. Well, no, God brought you new people. So don't say that day. Say it in a leadership meeting. Guys, I want us to pray right now for some new people. And you know what? Why don't we pray for these seven people who came over the last 2 weeks? Let's pray for them by name, that they would get connected. If not in our group, in some group. Pray for them. And do that regularly. So here are the three things. So I stay true to the title of our session here. You need to expect guests. Expect them. And I know Houston's First is a church where you're going to get guests. Right? You're going to have guests every Sunday in a truckload of them. Every Sunday. You need to thank God for that. You just thank God for that. But you need to expect them in your group. So you need to design your group with the expectation that guests are coming. Right? So you need to be prepared every Sunday for a guest to come. Whether you've had a guest in the last 6 months or not, it doesn't matter. Every Sunday you be prepared. Doors open, somebody's at the front door, welcome, shaking hands, you know, smiling, nice, they're friendly, they're awake. They know the names of the leaders in the class. They know the key people who are relational in the class, so that when a guest comes in, they can say, hey, Sam, glad you're here. Let me introduce you to Bill. Bill moved here about 8 years ago, got connected. Great guy. You guys stay connected. And Bill knows already that his job now is to make sure Sam doesn't get lost in the shuffle. And Sam can navigate the building and make it across the hall to the worship center. And if the group's going to lunch, he's got a map or a cell phone number or something. That's Bill's job. Or Sam, whatever his name is. Right? Bill's job. Sam's the guest. So that's it. So I'm expecting them. So we're ready. We're ready for guests. Now, one of the challenges you'll face, some of your groups may get more guests than you actually can handle. Right, there may be a time where you get more guests than you can really handle, especially if you're a small group or you're a newer group. And so you tell them up front, hey guys, we're brand new, we're kind of small, everybody's a big happy family here, so you got to jump in. So we need you to jump in. You just be honest with them. That's going to resonate with some folks, and other folks are going to run like the wind because they want a bigger group that they can just kind of sit in the back and be anonymous. Okay, but be prepared as you can be. Expect those guests to come. And as a part of that, do the obvious, right? I just mentioned some of those obvious things, right? Be nice to them. Get them connected to somebody. Get their information, people. Right? Don't be bashful about that. Don't be scared to get their information. If you're in a singles class, make sure a guy asks for the guys and a lady asks for the ladies. That's important. In a singles group. But do those obvious things that matter. When class is over, make sure somebody is with that person to help them get to the next location. The next location might be their car or it could be the worship service. But help them do that. Because I've been on this campus 20 times and I still get turned around. Right? I know basically where I'm going, but still. A new person is going to be lost as a goose. So just help them. And then Chick-fil-A, this is kind of their motto, go beyond the counter. Right? You've been in Chick-fil-A, what do? They come around, they ask for your drink. When I lived in Orlando, in the mall Chick-fil-A, they came around to your table. Whether you got their drink or didn't have their drink, they asked you if you wanted a refill. So what are you as an LBS doing that's beyond the counter? Right? There's some basic things that we need to do, but what are you doing to go to the next level to say, God's handed us some guests on a silver platter. I need to make their experience the greatest in all of Houston. That no other church they visit will they get as great a connection as they will here. What are those things then? I can't answer them for you, but you need to think about it as a leadership team. What are some of those things? Okay, going beyond the counter, beyond the obvious. Do those things. Expect guests. That's a mark. That's an expectation. You need to expect people to come through your door. You need to want them to come through your door. You need to pray for them to come through your door. And then expect guests to return. Right, it's one thing to get a guest. It's another thing for a guest to come back. you need to jump over the moon when a guest comes back. And be excited. Because we're great. I've been in Baptist for a long, long time. And we're great most of the time at following up with a first-time guest. We do great. So this is a beyond-the-counter type moment. When that guest comes back for the second time, who connects to him or her? Who reaches out to that couple or their children the second, the third, the fourth time? We do a great job as a church, typically. I know Houston's First does a great job. They're going to get a letter. They're going to get promotional pieces. They're going to get a call or an email from a divisional minister. They're going to get some kind of information from you as a life Bible study class after that first visit. But what happens when they return? So, again, beyond the counter type stuff. What we do at our church is we actually we kind of bombard them with information like most churches do the first week. But then we wait 10 days and we send them a follow-up letter, a survey, and a Starbucks gift card. I don't have near the volume that you have at Houston's First of guests, but that's what we do. Because nobody else does that. Number one, I want their feedback. I want to know what we're doing well. And we get about 15% of those back, which is pretty good compared to most surveys that get mailed. Because they feel obligated. I gave them sort of a free coffee. Like mostly a free coffee at Starbucks. But that's one of those things kind of beyond the counter that we try to do at our church. And so what happens to that return guest? Expect them to return, and then I need to fully engage. That second visit, but they're in probably. And so you need to close the door behind them and help them stay. That's what you need. So what are the ways you do that? That's where you get them involved beyond. That's when you can, Mike, as you asked earlier, that's where you begin to give them more detailed information about the structure, the organization, the way our class works, what we're teaching, finding out a little bit more maybe about their spiritual journey. You're helping them do that. Those are the kinds of things once they come back, because you want that door to close behind them and them to be a part of the family. And the last thing that open doors should provide us, and this is kind of the give, the gather, grow, give, is to expect babies. Now, I don't mean that everybody in your class is going to get married and have kids, but if your class is committed to an open door, that means you also have a loose grip, and you're going to birth some new classes so that more open doors can happen. So you're going to launch a class out of your class. You're going to create a group. You're going to have a baby. You're going to birth a new class out of your class. Because you're going to have so many guests coming in on a regular basis that your class is going to grow. And it's going to be dynamic and it's going to be energetic. And you're going to run out of space. And your divisional minister is going to say, I don't have any more room for you anywhere else. You need to launch a class out of yours. And so you do that. Because now you've created a group that understands open door policy. They understand, come on in. They get it. And so you just perpetuate that mentality. Because if not, over time, it becomes us four no more. Us 12. Us 25. Doesn't matter the number. We all love each other. We know each other. We've studied the Bible together for this many years. And it's great. And when a guest comes in, they know they're an outsider. And so that's why it's vitally important to launch new groups out of your group. I would argue that should happen every 2 years, if you can. Because by 2 years, for you non-young singles groups, 2 years, your group will get stale, if not. For you younger singles, might be 18 months. You got to reinvent yourself to keep the door open. You have to. Because think about that. 2 years. That's a long time. It's really short. That's a long time. I moved here in 2011. It seems like yesterday. Yesterday. I moved back here. And so you think about that. What is our end game? Our end game of the open door is to let people in and to shoo them away. That's our end game. Because the more doors we have, what? The more people we can reach. And that's just reality. The more open doors we have, the more people we're going to reach. And so let's birth classes. Let's expect babies. Let's expect people to leave us. And not leave us because they stopped showing up. Leave us because they're going to start a new group. And that should be a defining mark of your success as an LBS. That right there is the defining mark of success. That you have groups launched out of your group. That should be every one of our goals. All right. I've talked for 3 hours straight, just about. Any last comments, thoughts, questions? Oh, we're early, right? What time are we? Oh, yeah. So we got 15 minutes. What do you think? Any thoughts, any comments, questions? Something you want to add?
We've got a class that's kind of in that stale where any somebody who's new feels like they're outside.
Yeah.
How do you fix that?
So there's several artificial ways that you can do that. One of the ways is you change the name and you change the location. There's an artificial way to do that. You change the name, you change the location. Right? I would call that artificial. But it might work. Okay? So if you have the flexibility, go talk to Young Married's pastor. Say, hey, what can we do? That's one way. The other way is to do some of the things I mentioned. You all sit together. Everybody sits together in worship. We all kind of arrive together. So you go, guys, we're going to do something different today. I want everybody to follow me to church, unless they have kids, right? If they have kids, then beforehand, you got to get here early, or the week before, you scope it out and say, okay, I want everybody to come and go through door number or section number, and we're all going to sit down over there. And we're going to just look and see what it looks like from there. And then you debrief afterwards and see. So just an idea. And then you say, when we do that, I want you to look at how many people you don't recognize. And you talk about it. You be open about it. Because my guess is most of the people in your group are thinking the same thing. They're just afraid to share it because they like it. Right? They like it. I've got my 12 friends, my 6 or 8 couples. We're good buds. It's okay. But they realize if they have some, you know, some level of spirituality that we're probably meant for a little bit more than this. But I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure how to take the next step. Well, let's talk about taking the next step and then do it. So I would change the name, change the location, change their pattern on Sunday morning. Change your people's pattern on Sunday morning. And then I would go to the greeter ministry. Who leads your greeter ministry? What's his or her name? Who's the head person over here? Do you know? Does anybody know? No. Nobody know? Jody, do you know?
Painfully.
Okay. So who is it?
It's Jody.
You! Over the whole church, though.
Really? Technically, Becky Murphy does, but...
Okay, well, who is it?
Becky Murphy.
Becky Murphy. So either go back to talk to Jody or Becky Murphy, and you say, Becky, Jody, we need some guests in our class. How do our people get involved in the greeter ministry? Or how can we get people? That you go to the source. You do it. And you say, guys, we've been asked by the leadership of the church to help in the greeter ministry. Because Jody just asked you. Right? Yes, he did. You see that? He just did. So you say, we need to help in the greeter ministry. We're going to do it. Because the truth is, most of them have probably been around church long enough now that they're not connecting with people outside of the church beyond their church friend set. They might have 1 or 2 peripheral friends or coworkers, but they're not engaged in that way of inviting people. And so help them take that first step. Well, the first step is inviting a stranger who walked into our campus to our group, which is a big deal for some. Those are very simple things. Because if you say, everybody needs to go invite a guest, what are you guys doing? You beat them over the head, they're going to get mad at you, and it's still going to be the same 8 couples. So, again, give them some different perspective, right? And that's all you're doing is sort of leading the horse to water, is giving them different perspective. That has to do with what they see when they come onto campus, what they see in the children's ministry if they have kids, what they see in the worship service, how they view guests. How do they view guests? Well, they're going to get a great view from the greeter ministry station of what guests are and the need that they have. Does that help a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Just a side comment. We started in some art class. We do a new member and visitor dinner. So we've been doing it once a month because we had so many to do it every couple months. And then, I mean, I'm director, so I say, come over, we're going to have dinner at my house, invite the leadership over, and then we come over and have dinner together. And we've had people that came once or twice, but they showed up at this dinner, and then now you've had 2 or 3 hours to, and we've had a meal in someone's home, your best friends, and the leadership connects with them. And we're singles classes, it's probably a little easier to get people to come out on a weeknight, but still I think the same idea would be immediately you're part of the club and you're
Yes.
Had some connection.
What if it's also like that in your midweek Bible studies? If it's kind of like people are staying in their own midweek Bible studies and it's not fluid? Because we have a couple, like we have one that just started on Monday night, one's on Tuesday, one's on Wednesday, one's on Thursday. So they're all different groups. But sometimes I feel like it's stagnant within those groups too.
Are those closed groups where they pick a group of people and they're with those people for a while, or it's just anybody can come and go?
Anybody can come and go,
but everybody kind of sticks to their
everyone
clique.
Sticks with their
almost
group.
Like
a clique. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And so it's just hard as directors to see that.
Right.
Because then, you know, on Sunday morning, it's like people gravitate to the people
that they've been in Bible study
with.
Yes.
And that's great, but it's also makes us really closed.
What you need to do, so talk to your teacher, you're the directors.
We're the directors.
So talk to the teachers, and you find ways on Sunday morning to break that up.
So we have different care groups, and they're broken up.
But I'm saying even in the teaching environment. So like this, for example, right? What will happen is if one Bible study in a week, they're all going to sit over here, right?
Yeah.
Paul and Michael know each other. They don't want to talk to the rest of you, right? They like each other. That's
yeah.
it. Right. Exactly. Right? But they can endure each other for an hour. But what you do is you put something on the table. It could be as simple as Starburst or something. And you mix them up where you say, hey, I need all the ladies to come to this side of the room. And you find ways to mix the group purposefully, right, as a part of the teaching environment where they have to move and not be in their same group. Every group deals with that. Every group, not just your group. Every group deals with that. Because what do we gravitate to? We gravitate to the people we know and the place that we're used to. That's why it's important to get them to a different spot in the worship service. So they get a sense of the uncomfortableness. Because now you can say, now you know what it feels like to be a guest. Right? They don't know what it feels like to be a guest. Because they know everything. So you get them to another side of the worship service. Or you get them in the teaching environment where you break up and you say, all couples who have married 5 years or less over here, or all couples married 7 to 10 years over here, depending, you know, you kind of know your group, but you find ways purposefully to move them around in the teaching environment. Can't do that every Sunday, but if you did it occasionally, it would help maybe break up some of that closeness.
That's good.
Anybody else? Thought, comment, question?
Would you recommend, you know, if we feel that way, taking an initiative and leaving a midweek Bible study and going to another one, or... I don't want to start another one because that would be 5 that we have.
Right. Are they timed? Are those Bible studies timed, or they're open-ended, or what? How do they work?
It depends on, like, our studies.
Has everybody studied the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, everyone's doing their own. Some people study books, and some people study books in the Bible.
Right.
And then it just kind of changes. But I don't want to, as directors... I don't want to condone that in a way.
Right.
Is that the right word?
Yeah, no, yeah.
You don't want to act like it's okay that...
You don't want to promote them just
because they come to us, too. Because we're in their group. They're coming to us. They're talking to us.
Right, yes.
And so it's like, I see you on Wednesdays. Like, I need to, like, go with someone else. It's,
right.
It's just very...
And that's, I think, one of the things you can do rather than leaving or starting new groups is maybe you ask the leader of those small groups... the midweek groups, say, could we have a week to come in and share, here's the vision of the department. And share the vision with each group individually. Because they probably think they know the vision.
Right, but we're not bringing new people in and
right.
saving the lost as much as we could.
Right. And so, hey, guys, it's great for all of us to hang together, but I want you to hear the vision from us. We hear it from Pastor Greg. We hear it from our divisional pastor occasionally, we hear it in various ways, but you need to hear our heart. This is what we desire for our group. And so that means at times we're gonna have to mix it up. And it, you know, all you guys hang out together, but it's y'all same group every Bible study rotation.
Yeah.
What I'd love to happen is for you to mix it up some. And then on Sunday mornings, not to sit with the same people at the same tables, Because when a guest comes in, they're automatically an outsider.
Right.
Automatically. And so if you sit with people who you don't know very well, then everybody's getting to know each other. But you got to give them vision. If they don't see the vision, there's no like this is my group. Right?
Yeah.
My group.
Right.
They're not going to change that and unless you share vision with them. Yes.
I mean, I don't know if this helps, but something we did is our class, you know, it's easy to get clickers as well. So what we try to do is we try to know who's in clicks, you know, four or five different groups, and we try to pull one into leadership from each group. So that when we have leadership meetings, some people thought like, oh, that group is, you know, they're so close, their click is so instead, we're like, okay, if we grab one from each group, and maybe that's your midweek, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, grab one. That way they, when they come back, they feel like they're, everyone's kind of included, you know, they can go back Monday, hey, this is what's going on, this is the vision Tuesday, this is what's going on.
Yep.
But that way you're not heavily, have leadership on a Monday group or Tuesday, because then the other groups would be like, wow, their directors like them more, you know, and so
right.
we strategically try to get one from each group, so that way everyone's united more, so.
It's a good word.
We've done like dinner for six or dinner for eight, and been a little bit manipulative about pulling
those
people. So you just have to show up, you have to sign up ahead of time, and or we'll email the location. You have to RSVP ahead, and we email the location, so you don't know who's going to be there necessarily. So people have to go. You can't tell them who's going to be there, or they won't go because they know such and such is there,
or
they want to go here instead. But then they show up, and they have a good time. Everybody has a good time, but you're with a different person.
Call that like a dinner mix-up or something?
It's easier to do on Sunday morning. Right? It's easier to accomplish what you're talking about on Sunday morning, right? Where you mix the group up while they're sitting here. Because they're not gonna balk at the teacher. Right? They're not gonna get up and walk out on the teacher. Right? No, they wouldn't. Right, they're not that mean. Because the teacher's their friend, probably, at some level.
You can get an icebreaker and do that kind
of
stuff.
Right, so that's where I think part of the vision is sharing with them and then showing them the vision. Right, you share the vision with them, and then you show them the vision. Or you show the vision, like sit somewhere else in the worship service, and then you share the vision. For every Life Bible Study class, that is your task over and over again. Because even if it's not a very transient group, they forget. Because I'm here for me. Right? If we're brutally honest with ourselves, we come to church for ourselves. We don't come to church for ourselves. Right? Unless you're paid to be here. Then you have to come no matter what. But most of we come for ourselves. We're not coming thinking about giving my life away, keeping the door open. I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking, let me get to my place, my group of people, my thing. If I have kids, get into their thing. Praise the Lord. Right, that's a thought. So we have to retrain folks, or this will never happen. It won't happen. Because we forget. And so we have to remind them constantly, and you have to find different ways to remind them. And that's simple ways and not so simple ways. Okay, so we're about wrapped up. I have to have a giveaway here in every other class. I had a good reason, but I didn't really have anything today. So who has a birthday close to today? Any birthdays within a week of today? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? Don't be bashful. We're not going to ask you how old you are. Any January birthdays?
Can we go backwards?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
And no January birthdays. Early February or late December?
Mid-December.
What is the date?
14th.
The 14th. What do you have?
31st.
December 31st.
All right.
Big money. Way to go, man. $10. Way to go. This is the first class to clap for the winners. The rest of the people were mad because they didn't get. Would you fill that out and make sure Jody gets that? Are you a previous winner tonight?
No.
Okay, good.
He's always a winner.
That's right. Good, good. Well, I'm glad I could oblige. Hey, guys, thank you for enduring this last session. I know it gets long, but I hope you've learned something. I do want to pray for you as we close and then dismiss you to head down, and hopefully you'll win a big prize tonight. like Southwest Airlines tickets or a $50 gift card to somewhere. So let me pray for you. We'll go eat some cinnamon rolls, okay? God, we know that your desire is to reach people. And Lord, we're thankful that we serve in churches that people just show up. Lord, thank you for that. That's a privilege that we shouldn't take lightly. And so, Father, may we be good stewards of how we handle the people who you bring to us. And may we be passionate enough about people who need Jesus and need connection to the body of Christ, that we not just wait on those who come here, but we go into the community and reach them as well. And so may both of those be a part of our ministry and our Life Bible Study classes. And so, Father, go before us now. Thank you for a great evening. Thanks for the leadership of this church who desire to invest. And may this vision trickle down to the rest of the church body. As these men and women in this room catch the vision, they know the vision, may they continue to share the vision as the leadership do. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, gang.
Thank you all.